You're listening to a sermon from Pastor Colin Smith of Open the Bible. To contact us, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org. Let's get to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Well, good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas to you all. Would you open your Bible, please, at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. We are looking for the fourth and last time at this marvelous description of the Lord Jesus Christ who was born on that first Christmas morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, we read these words, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory." Now, this verse, very obviously, is about godliness. God made you for himself, and to be godly, very simply, as we saw, means to be God's man or to be God's woman. Godliness, in other words, is the life for which God made you and the life to which God calls you. And here we're told in this verse that how we become godly is a mystery. And we saw that in the Bible, that word mystery means a secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. And what God has revealed is that godliness, the life for which you were made, the life to which you are called, is possible through Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh and vindicated by the Spirit. And so we have these six marvelous statements about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mystery of godliness. He is the secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known, of how you can come to live the life for which God made you, the life to which God calls you. We're told here that he was seen by angels. We saw last time that angels are messengers. They announced the meaning of the baby in the manger, and they announced the meaning of the empty tomb. In other words, they announced the incarnation, and they announced the resurrection. The one who was born in the manger is Christ the Lord. The one who lay in the tomb is risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. Therefore, we saw that Christian faith is not a matter of personal opinion or interpretation. Christian faith is not based on personal feelings or impulses or even experiences. Christian faith at its heart is believing what God has revealed regarding Jesus, which is that he was manifested in the flesh and that he was vindicated by the Spirit. And this good news revealed by God concerning Jesus, seen by angels and announced by them, was proclaimed among the nations by the apostles. And of course, this is still our calling today. You can say to any person at any time, any culture, any place, you can say there is a life for which God made you. There is a life to which God calls you. And that life, which is a life of godliness, to be God's man, God's woman, is made possible for you in and through Jesus Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. Now today, we're going to look at how this life for which God made you and to which God calls you, how this life can be yours. And it's in the last lines of this marvelous statement about Jesus that he was believed on in the world and taken up into glory. I want today that we should see clearly what believing means and where believing leads. Now let's start here, what believing means. He was believed on in the world. Now the Bible says a very great deal about believing. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So everlasting life can be yours by believing. By believing. In the Bible, we also read these marvelous words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So not only is everlasting life yours by believing, but to be saved from the final judgment of Almighty God, that also is yours by believing. So to know what is meant by believing is therefore of supreme importance, and that is what is before us today. I want to suggest to you from these verses that believing in the Lord Jesus Christ involves three steps, and I hope that each and every one of us in this service today will take these steps and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, believing means that you confess what God has revealed about Jesus. That's the first step, if you like, in believing, that you confess what God has revealed about Jesus. Great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh and vindicated by the Spirit. These words are a confession of faith. That is what it is to believe. It is to confess what God has revealed concerning Jesus. We confess the mystery. That is, we confess the secret that God has revealed, though its full wonder is still to be made known. And what has God revealed regarding Jesus? He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. So very simply, to believe in Jesus means that you confess what God has revealed about him. Yes, I believe that God became man in Jesus Christ, that the baby who lay in the manger is God with us, that he is indeed Lord of all and therefore by definition must be Lord of me. Yes, I believe that he lived that perfect life that no one else has ever lived, and that he laid that perfect life down as a sacrifice for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, and I believe that one day he will come again in power and in glory. Now, the Bible says very clearly, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice the connection. You confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. You notice the connection between confessing and believing, because in the first instance, believing is a matter of confessing what God has revealed about Jesus. So I want to ask you very simply this morning, are you ready to take the first step in believing? I confess what God has revealed about Jesus, that he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, that Jesus is the sovereign Lord and the Savior who was born into the world, died on the cross, and rose again from the dead. Believing means that you confess what God has revealed about Jesus. Second, believing means that you stop trusting in your own attempts to be godly. Now remember, godliness is the life for which God made you, and it is the life to which God calls you. But what does this godly life look like? Well, God lays it out in the Ten Commandments. And here's the first of them. You shall have no other gods before me. Now you see, that's the essence of godliness, isn't it? To be godly is to be God's man. It is to be God's woman. God made you for himself. To be godly means that you are wholly devoted to him. Or as Jesus put it, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, here's how you get to believing in Jesus. You take an honest look at your own life in the light of the life for which God made you and the life to which he calls you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And when you take an honest look at your own life in the light of the life to which God calls you, you will come to this conclusion. I am nowhere close to being godly. I haven't even done the first thing that God calls me to do. My life is stretched out between competing loves. I love myself too much. I love this world too much. I love this life too much. And when you become convinced that you are not godly, you will say, well, this is no use. I cannot continue to put confidence in my own feeble attempts to live a godly life because these attempts at their best fall pitifully short of the life for which God made me and the life to which God calls me. That's how you will come to believe in Jesus. You won't put your trust in Jesus until you've given up trusting in yourself. Now, all over the world, friends, people are pursuing different paths in an attempt to be godly. Each of the world's religions offers a different path. They all tell you what you must do. There are rites to be observed. There are pilgrimages to be made. There are sacrifices to be offered. There are evils to be opposed. The gospel says something completely different. What God says to us in Scripture is, you're not godly. And what's more, you don't have it in you to become godly. And that, of course, goes against the grain of all that we are taught in our culture. Our culture is always saying to us, now you're a good person, and you can do whatever you set your mind to do. And we like that message, so we believe it, and we say, yes, no, I have integrity. I tell the truth. I'm a good person. And you know, the more ethical you are, the harder it is to believe that you are not godly. But if you confess that Jesus really is God with us, manifested in the flesh and vindicated by the Spirit, at some point you are going to say to yourself, if you confess that Jesus is who he says he is, if I confess Jesus, I can no longer hold on to a view of myself that is a direct contradiction to why he came into the world. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So here's my question. If you confess what God has revealed about Jesus, that's the first step. Are you ready today to take the second step, which is to stop trusting your own attempts to be godly? And I will tell you, when you stop trusting what's not working, you will know the most enormous relief. Believing means, first, that you confess what God has revealed about Jesus. Second, that you stop trusting your own attempts to be godly. You say, where do you go from there? What are you going to put in the place of trusting in yourself? That's the third step in what it means to believe. Believing means that you trust Jesus for godliness. And isn't that the whole point of this verse? Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness, the secret that God has revealed of how you can become the person God calls you to be. And the answer is, it's in Jesus. He was manifested in the flesh and vindicated by the Spirit. When you believe, Jesus becomes yours and you become his. Faith unites you to Jesus Christ, so that when he is yours, all that is in him becomes yours as well. Now, let me try and illustrate that in this way. Something very, very wonderful happened in Britain this year. An American became a member of the royal family. I tell you, I felt like the two halves of my whole life were being brought together on this marvelous occasion when Meghan Markle married Prince Harry on a perfect summer's day, watched by a staggering 1.9 billion people around the world. Now think about this. Harry is royal by birth. Meghan is royal by marriage. His royalty is his own. Her royalty is in him and through him and by virtue of her union with him. Meghan would not be royal without Harry. But when she became one with him, what was true of him became true of her. Now, we're looking at the question, how can you be godly? And the answer is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, is godly in himself. We become godly in him, through him, and by virtue of union with him. You would not and could not be godly without Jesus, but when you become one with him, what is true of him becomes true of you as well. So here's my question. If you confess what God has revealed about Jesus, and if in the light of that you have stopped trusting in your own attempts to be godly, are you ready then to take the third step of believing today, which is to trust Jesus for what you do not have and to find in him the godliness that is in him alone? Actually, this analogy of marriage that the Bible uses many, many times to help us understand union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is such a helpful picture. Every marriage involves consent. Will you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? I will. Will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? I will. Involves consent. Let me put it to you this way, that by coming into the world, living that perfect life, and then by going to that cross where he laid down his life for us, Jesus was consenting to be your Savior and to be your Lord and to be made one with you. And when you believe, you are consenting to be made one with him, to be in him, so that that which is true of him alone becomes true of you in him by virtue of your union with him. Here's what believing means. It means that you confess what God has revealed about Jesus. It means that in the light of that, you stop trusting your own attempts to be godly, and in the light of that, you start trusting Jesus for godliness. That's what believing means. And one more thing, more briefly today, I want you to see from this marvelous verse where believing leads. Look at it. He was taken up in glory. Now we read from the book of Acts how 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. We read these words from Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And here we're reading in 1 Timothy in chapter 3 that Jesus, who was manifested in the flesh, born in that manger, Jesus who rose from the dead, he was taken up in glory. Now you say, what does that mean for us today? Well, listen to what Jesus says to his disciples Because those who believe will one day also, like Jesus, be taken up. Jesus said this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Then to those who believe, he says this, "Now I am going to prepare a place for you." And then he says this, "I will come again, and I will take you to be with myself, that where I am," that's in glory, "you may be also." Christ was taken up in glory. And if you believe, by union with Jesus Christ, what happened to him will one day happen to you. You will be taken up in glory. He says, "I will take you to myself, that where I am, you also will be." And this is the ultimate purpose for which Jesus Christ came into the world. Just before he went to the cross, he declared it. "Father," he says, "I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory." Jesus says, "I'm going to the cross for this reason. I want them to be with me, and I want them to see my glory." Think of what that means for you. That what happened to Jesus manifested in the flesh, now taken up into glory. One day that's going to happen to you if you believe in him. That's the promise that's being given here. What believing means, where believing leads. He was manifested in the flesh. That means that nails being driven through his hands felt exactly as it would feel to you if a nail was driven through your hand. He was manifested in the flesh. So he knew in the flesh what it was to be weary, as you do. And he knew what it was to suffer, as you do. But now, he is taken up in glory. And he has a resurrection body that cannot suffer. It will never tire, and it will never age. And one day, that resurrection body will be yours if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was manifested in the flesh. That means also that he knew great grief and sorrow, that burdens were carried in his own soul and weighed upon his mind and his heart, as you experience that too. He was even known as the man of sorrows, but he's not the man of sorrows now. No, now he is taken up in glory, where there is no sorrow. And when you are with him, he will wipe every tear away from your eyes. Jesus was manifested in the flesh. And he came into the world to be our sin bearer. And when he carried our sins, he was plunged into the deepest darkness, in which he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And you know what it is to ask why. And you know what it is to find yourself in great darkness and to wonder and perhaps even to fear, has God actually left me? But Jesus is not in darkness now. No, he is taken up in glory. And he says to all who believe, "One day you will be with me and see my glory. And brother, sister, when you see his glory, you will no longer be asking why." Jesus was manifested in the flesh. And he took our human flesh because he was going to the cross, and he died. They laid his body in a tomb. But he's not in the tomb now. He is taken up into glory where death no longer has power over him. He lives in the power of an endless life. And if you believe in him, that endless life will be yours also. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. Angels announced his incarnation and his resurrection. Apostles proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ to the nations. Why? So that by believing, the godliness that is in him and in him alone might become yours. So that you might begin to pursue the life for which God made you and the life to which God calls you, and that when he comes or calls for you, you will be taken up in glory. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you today that when godliness was not found in us, Christ came so that we might find it in him. Thank you that he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations. Grant today that we may believe in him, that by his grace we too may one day be taken up in glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom be all praise and glory. And God's people who believe together said, Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon with Pastor Colin Smith of Open the Bible. To contact us, call us at 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org.